Let's just turn to Proverbs chapter 20, the first 11 verses. That's on page 962. Not this Bible, sorry. Yeah, page 931. So, Proverbs chapter 20, starting at verse 1. Wine is a mocker and beer a brawler. Whoever is led astray by them is not wise. A king's wrath strikes terror like the roar of a lion, and those who anger him forfeit their lives. It is to one's honour to avoid strife, but every fool is quick to quarrel. Sluggards do not plough in season, so at harvest time they look, but find nothing. The purposes of a person's heart are deep waters, but one who has insight draws them out. Many claim to have unfailing love, but a faithful person who can find. The righteous lead blameless lives, blessed are their children after them. When a king sits on his throne to judge, he winnows out all evil with his eyes. Who can say, I've kept my heart pure? I am clean and without sin. Differing weights and differing measures, the Lord detests them both. Even small children are known by their actions. So is their conduct really pure and upright? And then we turn to Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 to 20. And that's on page 1382. So Matthew chapter 7, starting at verse 15. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit you will recognize them. Is the word of the Lord.
And let's turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 6, for our text. During my years of ministry, it was generally my practice between Christmas and Easter to focus on the teachings of Jesus in the Gospels, and I want to do that both this morning and this evening. So from Luke chapter 6, from verse 43, actually I want to read into it from a little bit earlier. I want to start reading from verse 37, actually. Luke 6, from verse 37. Sorry, Andrew. I should have given you notice of that. You can't see the screen, grab your pew Bible. You should be doing that anyway. Hear the word of God to us this morning from Luke 6, reading from verse 37. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgiven, you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. He also told them this parable. Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into a pit? The student is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like their teacher. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, Brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when you yourself fail to see the plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you'll see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. And then particularly these verses, no good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks of what the heart is full of. Brothers and sisters in Christ, John MacArthur tells how he was once in a car with a fellow pastor. And they happened to be driving past a very large liquor store, and just to make conversation, John MacArthur commented on the unusual looking features of that place. The pastor told MacArthur, he said that the man who owned the liquor store owned a chain of similar stores around the country. What's more, the man was actually a member of that pastor's adult Sunday school class, and he said, in fact, the man is faithfully present in my class every week. However, that man has left his wife and he's living with a young girl. There was a very predictable and very uncomfortable silence, which the pastor broke by saying, you know, sometimes it's hard for me to understand how a Christian can live like that. MacArthur took a bit of a different line and he remarked, I must confess that it's hard for me to understand how someone who teaches the Bible can assume that a man who is living in rebellion against God is a Christian simply because he claims to be. Congregation, there is something painfully familiar about that little story, isn't there? People who claim to be Christians but who don't show it in their daily life. Folk who want to worship Jesus on Sunday, but on Monday and Tuesday and the rest of the week, it makes not a scrap of difference to their lifestyle. In contrast, Jesus is saying to us this morning that a good tree does not bear bad fruit. And if someone is converted, then that is going to show itself in good behavior. This morning I could take you through numerous scripture passages that teach precisely the same thing. We could examine, for example, the Apostle Paul's teaching in Galatians that those who live by the Spirit should keep in step with the Spirit. We could go back this morning to the teaching of John the Baptizer. And he called the Pharisees to produce fruit in keeping with repentance. In other words, he was saying godly behavior is the evidence of one's conversion. We could go back to the Old Testament, already to that reading in Proverbs 20, the last verse. Even a child is known by his actions, whether his conduct is pure and right. Here this morning, friends, is a very important teaching from our Lord. He's saying that what we do reflects the kind of people that we are. And your actions are going to give away sooner or later whether or not you are a Christian. Think about that, and today we would think of many people who call themselves Christians, but you wouldn't know it by their lifestyle. I attend a men's shed in Narrabri, and there's a man there who calls himself a Christian, but he never goes to church. Another man who does go to church, his language is really horrendous. It's no different to some of the most irreligious people in the shed around me. How can a man leave his wife, shack up with a chick, run a chain of liquor stores, and still call himself a Christian? How can kids at school who swear, lie, and cheat call themselves believers with integrity? Jesus says, by their fruit you will know them. Now please notice that in those words of Jesus, congregation, there are no ifs and no maybes. Jesus doesn't say that this is the way it is sometimes or the way it is usually. No, all of this is as certain as the laws of nature that apply to fruit bearing. You boys and girls, you young people, ever seen a prickle bush with apples growing in it? It's ludicrous to even think of that, isn't it? Have you ever collected a bunch of grapes from a blackberry bush? We say, of course not. Fruit bearing is strictly in accordance with the nature of the trees. Apples always grow on apple trees, and grapes always grow on grapevines. That's 100% predictable. Can you imagine seeing an apple growing on a tree and then asking, I wonder what kind of tree that is? Of course it's an apple tree. Jesus is saying this is the law of nature. And then Jesus applies that teaching, this unchanging principle, in two ways. Good trees can't bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. The evidence for the kind of tree that you have is seen by what grows on that tree. And so good people cannot practice evil, nor can evil people practice what's good. Now, I want to stress, congregation, that Jesus is not suggesting that Christians will be perfect. Apple trees grow on apple trees, but are all the apples always up to scratch? When I walk into Woolies, there is a special packet that's called the Odd Bunch. Have you seen them? They're apples that really didn't make the grade, but they're prepared to sell them at a somewhat lesser cost. If you've ever had an apple tree in your backyard, you'll be aware that there are apples with blemishes on them. And in fact, there are some apples that are pretty scrawny, but they are still apples growing on apple trees. That's the point. And so too, Christians will often fail, and sometimes tragically and seriously. Yet by and large, a Christian's deeds are pleasing to God. They're the good fruit of a good life. And so we have this principle of nature that's applied by Jesus to human beings. The inwardly bad will do and say bad things that will exercise a bad influence. The inwardly good will say and do good things, and they will be a good influence. We are eventually shown what we are by our behaviour. At the end of our text, Jesus puts this in a little bit of a different way. He says, out of the overflow of a person's heart, his mouth speaks. So in other words, he's saying our mouth speaks of what our heart values most. You get the point Jesus is making, congregation? Verse 45, he talks about what is stored up in a man's heart, that is the center of our lives. He says a good man has good things stored in his heart, the evil man evil things. There are certain things we treasure. Certain things we really value. What is it that's most precious to you this morning as you sit here in church? Well, it's going to come out sooner or later in your behavior, especially in the words you say. For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. This morning, we all know that that's very obvious in even the less important things in life. If you have treasure in your heart, the game of rugby, then that will come out in your lifestyle. If you're a rugby fan, you'll talk about rugby at work, probably more than anything else. I'm thinking of the guy who was a bit of a golf maniac, and his wife complained that she was a golf widow. And one morning over breakfast, she took him to task yet again for his total preoccupation with golf. And he protested and he said, I am not always preoccupied with golf. I'm not obsessed with it. Now, please pass me the putter. Not butter, that's putter with a P. That principle is true, congregation, even more when it comes to evil. For a couple of years, I worked in industry with a young man who thought that he was God's gift to women. And that's all he ever talked about. Week after week, it was always about his conquests of the opposite sex. Our words show us what's inside of us. Our mouths give us away. James, in his letter, puts it this way, a salt spring can't produce fresh water. And so it's obvious from our conversations what lives in our hearts. Why is it, brothers and sisters, congregation, why is it, young people, that some kids can talk endlessly about their favourite movie star, but they never talk to Jesus about their friends, about Jesus to their playmates at school? Why is it that they can tell you exactly what happened in the latest episode of Games of Thrones or whatever the latest television serial is, but they cannot in a pink fit even give you the basics of the gospel of Christ? It's because their mouth gives away what lives in their hearts. We see, friends, this morning why Jesus hammers this home to us in the context. Previously in verse 37, that's why I wanted to go back to verse 37, he warns us against judging other people. He says, do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Today that's a favourite saying in our age, isn't it? What's the highest virtue in today's society? Tolerance. Don't judge people. And here you've got it black and white in this chapter of Luke's gospel. But hey, isn't this a contradiction, friends? Jesus says in our text that we are allowed to judge. On the one hand, he's saying in verse 37, don't judge. And now Jesus is giving us a standard by which we judge others, the fruit of their behavior. In fact, Matthew in his gospel account of this gives a most clearly expects us to judge. He says, by their fruit you will know them. In other words, you are going to judge people, evaluate them, know them by the fruit. And to do that, you have to judge. So how do we reconcile that with don't judge? I think it's helpful to make a distinction between being discerning and being judgmental. And we as Christians are constantly forced to make judgments. We're living in a world where many claim to be Christians but who are denying it by their deeds. And discernment is needed. We need to weigh these things up, to evaluate them, to judge them, so that we are not taken in by hypocrisy. On the other hand, we mustn't become judgmental. And so when Jesus says don't judge, he means don't judge in a condemning kind of a way. On the contrary, we ought always to judge in a forgiving kind of way, out of grace. Doesn't mean that we can't evaluate people's claims to be Christians. We should do that by seeing whether the fruit is there in their lives. Second thing from the context, congregation, it seems that Jesus also had the Pharisees in his sight. Because in verse 39 of this chapter, he gives a little mini parable. He says, a blind man can't lead a blind man, otherwise both will fall in the pit. And isn't that the way Jesus often spoke to the Pharisees, you blind guides? He said they say the right thing, but they don't do the right thing. They were the classic hypocrites of the New Testament of the Gospels. And it seems to me that is why Matthew, in his account of this, it becomes a warning against false prophets. Here is a key reason why you and I need to judge, why we need to be discerning, why we need to evaluate. We are not to be taken in by false teachers. People make all kinds of claims. But if their deeds don't measure up, you have the right to be suspicious. Thirdly, Jesus has cautioned us just before our text about the way we relate to each other. Says so often we're busy taking a splinter out of someone's eye and there's this horrible bit of 4b2 in our own eye. You can't expect to change someone else's life if you don't change your own, if you don't deal with your own problems. You need to make sure you're bearing good fruit as a good tree. And only when you do that are you able to help others bear good fruit as well. So these earlier sayings of Jesus help us to understand why this is important. In all of these areas, we need to understand this key principle. Good behavior is the fruit of a good life. But we need to see a still bigger picture, congregation, to fully understand why Jesus says this. This is part of what's called the Sermon on the Mount. And in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus gives us moral guidelines in a whole lot of areas. Read through it and you see it again and again, that read Matthew 5, 6 and 7, where you get a good overview of the subjects, and it deals with things like love and prayer and fasting and marriage and divorce and money and murder and revenge, and the list goes on. Behavior in an immensely wide range of areas. Do you remember back in the days when young people used to wear bracelets with the letters WWJD on it? Remember those? Well, my granddaughter still wore them. What would Jesus do? Quite popular, the Coorong used to sell them. Well, if you want to know what would Jesus do, there's a Sermon on the Mount, there's the guidelines. Jesus spelled out what he would have us do. But now as the Sermon of the Mount comes to an end, Jesus adds this absolutely essential qualification that the sort of behavior that he's been talking about in the Sermon on the Mount flows out of a good person, because a good tree cannot bear bad fruit and a bad tree can't bear good fruit. So it all depends on the kind of tree you are. the kind of person you are. Are you a good person? Only then can you live by the standards of the Sermon on the Mount. Now, that faces us this morning, congregation, with a very important question. And I'll tell you why it's important. I began by talking about a man who claimed to be a Christian but didn't live like one, and then I applied the words of Jesus. I suggested that if he really was a Christian, he would also live like one. But is Jesus really talking about being a Christian? Isn't he talking really about a far more vague and general thing, that good people can be a good influence and that bad people will be a bad influence by their bad behaviour? Isn't that all Jesus is saying? The all-important question this morning is, what constitutes a good person? And then, not good by the world's standards, but by God's standard. And when we look at it that way, then we have to say that a good person is someone who is in tune with God, someone who has a heart for obedience to God's will. Here it's not accidental that Jesus is talking here also about the heart. The heart is the core of our being. And that heart in which we store up our treasures is either pro-God or anti-God. The heart is the place where the Word of God and the Gospel take root in our lives and bear fruit. And that presents us this morning with a great dilemma. Jesus is calling us here as he sums up the Sermon on the Mount to live by the Sermon on the Mount. But the problem is that we can't. You cannot keep the lifestyle of the Sermon on the Mount. Let me again come back to that little bracelet that my granddaughters wore with the WWJD on it. You can ask that question, what would Jesus do? Good question to ask, and we should ask it. But if we remember that in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus shows us exactly what he would have us do, then the issue is not knowing what Jesus would have us do, but the issue is actually doing it. Can you do it? For example, Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, love your enemies. Can you do that tomorrow at work? Well, holiday, public holiday. How about Tuesday or Wednesday? Can you love your enemies? Jesus said, turn the other cheek, but is that always possible? Can we do that? Can you go the second mile in every instance? You see, we can only do what Jesus would have us do if we have the heart of Jesus. We need people with new hearts, and only then are we good. Here in our text, Jesus doesn't actually spell that out in detail. He just spells out new hearts. But he mentions how that happens in John 3 to Nicodemus. You must be born again. Only then can you enter the kingdom of God. Only then will you be good people producing good fruit. That means, friends, that sometimes we as Christians go about things the wrong way. Sometimes we expect non-Christians to display Christian behaviour, don't we? And I want to say that ultimately that's impossible. I think it's a major problem we have in our society. In America, they have a movement called the Moral Majority. I don't know whether it's still functioning in the era of Bush. But their aim was to improve the morals of society in a godly direction. And over the years, we've had those kinds of movements in Australia. There was the Moral Rearmament League. But the problem is those organisations cannot enforce good moral behaviour. That's like trying to get a bad tree to produce good fruit. My first congregation in Devonport many years ago, about 100 years ago I think it was, we had in the city a media ethics action group. And their goal was to try and remove blasphemy from the television screen and to get the local papers not to publish objectionable adult advertising. On one occasion, the Ministers Fraternal organised, together with the Media Action Ethics Action Committee, a forum to which we invited the editor of the local paper, the heads of the television channels, and somebody from the Australian Broadcasting Tribunal. That was very well attended and it went very well. But I'll never forget the last words of the evening that were spoken by a man from the Australian Broadcasting Tribunal. He said, if you want to change the standards in the media, then you first of all got to change people. Exactly what Jesus is saying. Sure, we push for a better moral value in our society. We want to do away with things that dishonour God. But ultimately, when all is said and done, a bad tree cannot produce good fruit. The answer is only in the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to be people with changed hearts, and Jesus is the one who changes lives. He does it as the word of the gospel takes roots in people's hearts and lives. As he takes out the heart of stone and replaces it with that heart of flesh in the new birth. You know, when they were fashionable, my grandchildren were wearing those What Would Jesus Do bracelets. It was as if we were wanting everybody in society to act on that and to live that way. But the sad thing is, congregation, of course, we can only do it if we've come to Jesus. So we need to keep on proclaiming today the good news of Jesus. That and that alone can change people, because good actions and good words are the proof of a heart born again by the power of Jesus Christ. Let me close this morning by coming back to that verse in Proverbs in verse 11 of chapter 20. It's true that a child is known by his actions, whether his conduct is pure and right. But that conduct that is pure and right, congregation, flows out of a heart that is filled with the love of Jesus. And it's in the power of his love alone that we can go out into this week and bear the good fruit that Jesus is talking about. Let's bow in prayer.